Before I start, I just want to comment to those who may have it difficult to understand my English. The Chazal tell us that the Lord Hayotzim in Halef is not in Halef. So it should be a little bit easier even if you're not that proficient in English. I tell you the truth, I'm a little bit confused of what exactly I'm doing here. After seeing over Shabbos the caliber of the Kehillah here, and the very, very fine people you have here, it reminded me of a story I once heard. A person wanted to take a trip across Europe years and years ago in a horse and wagon. So he hired a wagon driver with a horse. They get in the wagon, traveling a little bit, and they come to a muddy area. And the wagon driver says to the passenger, "My horse is an old, weak horse. I don't think he can pull the wagon through this mud. Would you mind getting out and help me push the wagon?" "No problem." Gets out, they push the wagon. A little while later, they come to a hill. He says, "I don't think the horse can make it up the hill. Would you mind getting out and helping me push the wagon up the hill?" And this goes on over and over again the whole trip. Finally, they reach their destination. And the man says, "Look, I understand why I came along, because I have a business trip I had to make. I understand why you came along, this is your parnassa, but why don't we bring the horse?" I'm a little bit confused, why do you need the horse? You have such fine people here, why do you have to bring somebody from the outside? But that is the truth, is Klal Yisrael. In the Midbar also, they could have found a replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu and they thought that he wasn't coming back. They could have asked Aaron HaKohen to take his place. They had Hur, they had many fine people. What did they choose? An Egel HaZov. Because an Egel HaZov from the outside is better than Aaron HaKohen that you know from the inside. But the truth is that I do have a mind here. Because I'm a God. Now that sounds gaibedik. Let me explain what that means. The Mediterranean Sea is a drop in a bucket compared to the Atlantic and Pacific. Yes, it's called the Yam HaGadol. The reason it's called the Yam HaGadol is because a portion of it washes up on the shore of Eretz Israel. And about 31 years ago, I washed up on the shore of Eretz Israel, so I also could be called the God. So if that's the case, then that is my yichus here, so we'll use that as the yichus of why I'm here. I want to first be makir tova for those that brought me here and gave me a chance to see such a beautiful kehillah. In the Midbar, they had two aronos. I also had two aronos here that took care of me. Aaron Ryan and Aaron Green. And their Rebbetzins, Yafa and Gila, and I want to thank them and their families for their tremendous hachnosos orchim. And the Mirza Hashem will come to Eretz Israel and try to reciprocate. And I really am impressed with the kehillah here. Sometimes people themselves don't realize what you have. You need somebody to come from the outside to let you know how fortunate you are. There are not too many kehillahs in the world, and believe me, I've been around the world, that can match the kehillah here. Beautiful, beautiful kehillah. And therefore, I chose to speak about a topic that is very controversial. Shalom. Very controversial topic. Everybody has their idea of what shalom is. I want to explain to you a little bit what real shalom is and what prevents it and what the milas are of being in a kehillah and having a kehillah. People think that shalom is peace, quiet, nobody ever argues, that's shalom. People think that Shalom Bayis is a home where nobody ever raises their voice, nobody ever argues, everybody is quiet and serene. That does not describe Shalom or Shalom Bayis, that describes a cemetery. You know for sure that it's not your Shalom Bayis. In winter, when the windows are closed, you can think it's your neighbor's Shalom Bayis. In summer, when they open the windows, you know it's not theirs either. Shalom means shlemus. Shlemus means where people work together towards one common goal. Because nothing in this world is complete by itself except the Ribono Shalom. And everything else needs other things to be mashlim, to make it shalom. Shlemus and Shalom is when people work together, each one giving their unique part towards the common good. And those parts can disagree, and they can argue, and they can even raise their voice with one stipulation, with one condition, that everybody is concerned what's good for everybody and not what's good for me. If that's the case, then Shalom can be even sometimes with arguments and even with fights. It's a Medrash. Medrash says that David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. In the pasuk, it seems to say that David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash is a makom shel shalom, and Yodecha Domi Molei, his hands were full of the blood of all the wars that he made. He wasn't to keep shalom. He couldn't build a Beis shel shalom. Shlomo HaMelech, Kishmo Kahu, he didn't have any wars, he never fought any wars, he was an Ish Shalom, he could build the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says, Pumfajit. The Medrash says that the Ribono Shel Olam told David HaMelech, if you build the Beis HaMikdash, it will be eternal, I won't be able to destroy it. Because you'll build the Beis HaMikdash, that's Netzach Netzachim, and I can't do that. Because I have to have the option, if Klal Yisrael deserve it, I'm going to have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because if not the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to have to destroy them. Kila Chamoso Aleichim Lavonim. So I need to reserve the option to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They're not ready yet for a Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. Karza, Sphira, Noro. The Pasuk is Mashma Medovit couldn't build it because his hands were full of blood. And here it says, if he would have built it, it would have been Netzach Netzachim. There's no contradiction. Because who did David HaMelech kill? He killed Rishoyim. He killed Rishoyim who would destroy the shlemus of the world. That kind of shalom is an active shalom. That kind of shalom can build the Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. Shlomo HaMelech only had a passive shalom. He never had to fight with anybody. So the shalom was menela. That kind of shalom can't build a Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. So shalom can even be when you have to fight for it. That's also shalom. Depends who you're fighting. It depends how what brings to this world perfection and what does not bring perfection. This world is a world that perfection can only come for many, many things working together. That applies on every level of existence. Torah tells us that every day the Ribono Shel Olam saw what he created, that Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. On the sixth day, it says, Vayar Elokim Es Kol Asher Asa Vehine Tov Me'od. So the Sfarno asks, what transformed all these many good things into Tov Me'od? It's a very good. There was a lot of good things now. Why is it now Tov Me'od? So give you an example to what his answer is. Take an automobile and break it down into its components. Separate it into its parts. Where I live, they do that often. So then you have a car that is strewn out on your lawn. A horn over here, tires over here, a motor over here, seats over here. Each of those components is good. It has a function. You could use the seats for furniture. You could use the tires for a float at the beach. You could use the spark plugs to make a fire. Each part has a function, and it's good. But when you put them together, and they form a functioning automobile, That is better than the sum of the parts. That's derelict. A functioning automobile is better than just taking the function of all the parts separately. So too says Sparta. Each neighbor of function created something that was good, had a function. But when everything worked together to make a functioning universe, that's derelict. That's on the physical level. On the social level, it's the same thing. If everybody in this world would be doctors, we'd have a very healthy world. But who would take out the garbage? And if everyone were garbage men, we'd have a very clean world. Who would heal the sick? So you need a world where socially there are all different kinds of people, each one doing their top thing, each one doing their thing to make the world a more perfect place. But it doesn't only apply to the physical world, it applies to the spiritual world too. We pride ourselves that we received the Torah that has Targum Mitzvahs. There is no one in this world that could ever do Targum Mitzvahs. Not because it's too difficult, it's impossible. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for Kohen. So if you're not a Kohen, you don't have Targum Mitzvahs. So what are you telling me? A Torah Kohen has Targum Mitzvahs, not true. Because there are certain mitzvahs that are only for non-Kohen. No Kohen will ever fulfill the mitzvah of Tikkun HaDeh as a father. It's part of the mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for men. No woman could ever fulfill those mitzvahs. And there are certain mitzvahs that are only for women. No man could ever fulfill them. In my lifetime, I'm hoping no man will ever bring a carbon lettuce. It's not a mitzvah for a man. So unless you are a Kohen Levi Israel, man and woman wrapped into one, which today may be possible, but under normal circumstances was not, you can't have Targum Mitzvahs. So what is this Targum Mitzvahs for? The answer is, we didn't receive the Torah as individuals. But we received the Torah ki ish echad b'lev echad. Like one united conglomerate called Klal Yisrael. And in every part of Klal Yisrael has different mitzvahs. Together we have Targum Mitzvahs. That's trouble. That's shleimus. And that shleimus is so important. The Rambam brings down the Gemara in Yuvalis at the end of Hilchos Chanukah. Lo nitna haTorah ela lahavi shalom la'olam. The entire purpose of Torah is to bring shalom, shleimus to the world. The Torah brings perfection to the world. And it teaches each person how to contribute their unique part towards that shleimus. And therefore, Talmidei Chachamim, what is their function? Talmidei Chachamim marvin shalom la'olam. Because they're the ones who bring that Torah to Klal Yisrael and to the world. And that's why the Motzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Kli Maksi Brocha Yisrael Ela Shalom. The keli, the environment that creates that ability to bring bracha to the world, the shalom, is that shleimus. And that's why our Shmoneh Esrei ends with Birkas HaShalom, and that's why Birkas Kohanim ends with Birkas HaShalom. That is the seal of all success and all the purpose of this world to bring to that shleimus. So what is that shleimus? Somebody once asked the Chafetz Chaim, wouldn't it be better if all Jews were exactly the same? They all dressed the same, they all had the same expression of language, they said oh or ow or e or whatever, all the same. And they had the same in Hagen, 1 minute. Wouldn't it be better, instead of the way it is now, they have this Eidah with their Minhagim, this one with their Minhagim, this one dresses like this, and this one dressed like this, and this one says the Lashna Kodesh this way, in a different way. It's too confusing. Now, it doesn't say in the story which way he was referring to. I'll tell you which way, his way. Whatever he was, that's what he wanted everybody to be. Chafetz Chaim said, why are you asking me this question? Go ask the Tsar why he has so many different divisions in his army. He has the infantry and the cavalry and the air force and the marines. Wouldn't it be better if everybody had one uniform, did one thing, everybody on the ground, everybody in the air, everybody in the water, one thing? It'd be much easier to take care of such an army. No desire of Tayus at the Chavetz Chaim. They say, yeah, the army will be much easier, much more streamlined. I'll never win a war. In order to win a war, I have to cover all bases. So too, Klal Yisrael needs all different kinds of yidden. All different kinds of yidden that will be able to reach towards that shleimus of what Klal Yisrael is. So this Eda with their minhagim is mashlim with another Eda has a different minhagim, and all together bring that perfection to the world. In fact, Chofetz Chaim says, I mean, Gemara in the end of Tainus, Rabbi Akiva Eger, he said before him. And I always kind of that if Klal Yisrael would listen to this Gemara, it will be the end of Tainus. We're not the fast anymore. The Gemara says, the loss of love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Osen, Mochel, and Tzadikim. The Rebbe is going to make a tremendous circle, a dance for all the Tzadikim. And he's going to sit in the middle. And all the Tzadikim are going to point, Zeh Elokeinu Kivinu Lo. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the Chora, that doesn't sound like Olam Haba, it sounds like kindergarten. Everybody dancing around, the Ganemet in the middle, what's it mean? So what it means is the following. In this world, there are all different kinds of tzaddikim. There are people who learn Torah and do chesed and avodah, but their emphasis is on Torah. They also do chesed and they also daven, but the emphasis is libur haTorah. Amongst them, there are all different kinds of libur haTorah. There's this derech halimu, the likvish derech, and in the likvish derech, there's tellus, and there's beer, and there's all different kinds of drachim. And then there's a spanish derech, and a poivish derech. All different drachim. Within those drachim, there's some people who learn be'iyum, and some people who learn be'kiyas, some people learn halacha. All different kinds of learning. Put them all together, you have hundreds of different possibilities of different kinds of learning. Then there are tzaddikim who emphasize chesed. They learn and they daven, but their emphasis is chesed. And there are all different kinds of chesed groups. The people who deal with almonas and with yisomim and with aniyim and the sick people, all different kinds of chesed groups. And then there's people who emphasize avodah. They also do chesed and they also learn Torah, but their emphasis is avodah. And there's some people daven this nusach and a different nusach, and some daven low, and some daven loud, and some daven slow. All different kinds of avodah. Put them all on a gigantic circle. And there are tzaddikim on this part of the circle who are 180 degrees from a tzaddik on a different part of the circle. Completely different drachim. As long as your 2 feet are on the circle, not everybody's feet are on the circle. There are drachim which are not on the circle. They are not ne'eman, the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah Shebalpeh, the Shlosh Yisrael Yikorim, and don't have any Mesorah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people whose 2 feet are on the circle. They're ne'eman to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, and they have a Mesorah from Adoshim Gidolim. So this tzaddik over here thinks that his derech is the only one, and everybody else is somewhere elsewhere. But Lashon Lava, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to put them all in a big circle, and he's going to sit in the middle, says the Chofetz Chaim. And they're all going to realize that all of the drachim from the circle, no matter where you are, as long as you're on the circle, all the drachim are equal to the middle. All the radii of the circle are equal. Somebody once told me even more than that. Doesn't say that the Lord is going to make a circle. It says you make a dance, which means for us, everybody's going to dance around and come to everybody else's derech and experience it. In this world, a person has to have a derech. Can't have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You have to have a mesorah. You have to have a derech. But for us, the Lord is going to let everybody taste a little bit of everybody else's derech, so they'll see that all the drachim are equal to the middle. As long as a person knows that he's keeping his Mesorah, he's keeping his Minhagim, but all of the Minhagim create that shleimus of the circle, that shleimus of Klal Yisrael. So why doesn't Klal Yisrael look like that? Why don't we look like that in this world, where everybody realizes they're on one circle, everybody together, everybody's derech is a legitimate derech as long as you have both feet on the circle? Why does everybody in the Bible, everybody else, and think that we're the only ones that exist? Everybody else is person. But for the most part. So Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Hakina, the Hataiva, the Hakavo, Motsi, the Sa'odim, and Ha'odim. It's all different shot in there, which olam these things take a person out of. Kina, Taiva, and Kot. Some say from Olam Hazar, some say from Olam Haba. I think maybe it means something different. Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, and Motsi, the Sa'odim, and Ha'odim, it takes a person out of the Chevra. Takes you out of society. You can't be a contributing member of society if you're a Balkina, a Baltaiva, or Balakava. Why not? What's Kina? Gemara says, Rekev Aksomos Kina. Pasuk in Mishle. Rekev Aksomos Kina. Kina rots your bones. So you can understand it simply, but Chazal say it means something different. It means what you want, you won't get. And what you have, you lose. It's not an onus. Kina means, I'm not happy being me. I'd rather be somebody else. And therefore, I want to be him and everything he has. Shoro, the chamoro, ishto, bishto, everything. And the driving force is, I'm not happy being me, I want to be him. And I want to be him with everything he has. A person who doesn't feel they have anything to contribute. They don't realize what their kochos are, what their kishronos are, what their abilities and capabilities and talents are. So what you want, you can't be somebody else. Impossible. What you want, you'll never get. And what you have, your mileage, you're going to lose because of the atrophy. Because if you don't use them, then you lose them. So a person who's about kina doesn't appreciate what he has to contribute to the club. He's never going to contribute anything. He's not going to be able to be what he wants to be because you can never be somebody else. That's about Kina. About Taiva, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, the Taiva Yavakish Nifra. People who are Bali Taiva have one thing in life. What's in it for me? Bottom line, what am I going to get out of this? And they want the whole pie for themselves. They're not willing to share with anybody else. If you're not willing to share with anybody else, you can't be a part of society. You can't be part of that shleimus that comes from a team effort for people working together. And even though there are tigers that a person can't get unless he uses other people. You want to rob a bank. So you need a lot of people to work together. Right? You need the person who's going to explode the safe, and the person who's going to drive the getaway car, and the person who's going to be the lookout. I never robbed the bank. I'm not exactly particular how it was done, but that's what you need. But there, the people are not cooperating with each other. They're using each other. The raya is that when they finally get the money, they kill each other off until one of them gets it. You can't be a contributing team person, a person who works together with others if you're about taiva and you want everything for yourself. And the same thing goes with covet. Somebody who wants all the covet for himself is not going to share with anybody else to get any of the covet. So about covet can only work for himself, he can't work with other people. Could be for that reason, Chazal say that if you see three things in a dream, you should expect shalom in your life. What are those three things? And I'm sure tonight everybody's going to dream about these three things. And you should know it will mean nothing because you're thinking about it. But in any case, those three things are the following. A river, a bird, and a pot. Those three things in a dream represent shalom. Why? I was thinking perhaps the reason for the problem. A river counteracts Kina. What's a river? A river has tremendous power. You can run a hydroelectric plant with water power. Tremendous power. But as long as the river stays within its boundaries, it's very, very powerful and very positive. But once the river overflows its boundaries and goes somewhere where it doesn't belong, it becomes a flood and very destructive. Learn from the river not to be jealous. Recognize your talents, your abilities, your capabilities, what you have. Don't try to go and get what somebody else has, because then you become a flood. So the river represents the opposite, the negation of Kina. The bird. Chayyotam says that Kavod comes from the word Kaved, heavy. Person, when you have to give Kavod to somebody else, you should consider that important people. Person, Machabed his parents, you should consider his parents important people. People you can't push around. In America, in the 1960s, the word heavy did not refer to how much you weighed, but it referred to something important. That's a heavy idea. He's a heavy person, meant he's important. Meaning, in Yiddish, er tarnemt en ort. Can't push him around. He's important. A person who thinks that he's so important, inflexible. You want to go around me, I'm not moving for anybody else. That kind of person can't be a part of society. He's all to himself. The bird is the opposite of that. The bird is very light, flexible. You want to go in the tree, the bird will go on the ground. You want to go on the ground, the bird will go into the tree. A bird is the opposite of kaved. The opposite of kaved is a light, flexible thing. You want to be about kaved, you're not going to move for anybody. You want to be like a bird, you'll be flexible and able to move for anybody. And lastly, the pot. The pot counteracts taiva. About taiva has one consideration. What is in it for me? Bottom line, what am I going to get out of this? And if I don't get anything out of it, I'm not interested in doing it. If you have fire and water, so if you have a lot of fire and a little bit of water, the fire will boil away the water. If you have a lot of water and a little bit of fire, the water will put out the fire. Fire and water can't exist together. But if you put the water in a pot and put the pot on the fire, then the pot enables the fire and water to work together to make cooking. What does the pot get out of it? Burnt. Nothing. Sometimes you have to be a pot and be able to bring people together and make them be able to function together even though you get nothing out of it. Maybe black and burnt. That's all. So the pot counteracts taiva, the bird counteracts kavod, and the river counteracts heat. But even more than that, what really is the reason, the cause, why Klal Yisrael can't look like the Chofetz Chaim says, the Asif Lovo, we're going to look, a big circle, everybody together, everybody realizing that they can have their derech and respect somebody else's derech? Why? Kotzker Rebbe said two things that I want to put together. First thing he said it in Yiddish, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, because in English it really sounds ridiculous. I'll say it in Hebrew at least. He said like this, Im ani ani, mipnei sh'ani ani, v'ata ata, mipnei sh'ata ata, אז אני אני ואתה אתה. אבל אם אני אני מפני שאתה אתה, ואתה אתה מפני שאני אני, אז אין אני אני ואין אתה אתה. If I'm me because I know who I am, and you're you because you know who you are, then you have an identity and I have an identity. I'm me and you're you. But if the only reason I know I'm me is because I'm not you. I don't know who I am, but I know I'm not you. And the only way you know who you are is that you're not me. You don't know who you are, but you know you're not me. Then neither of us have an identity. Because a negative identity is not an identity. If the only way I can identify myself is by knowing who I'm not, that doesn't make me have an identity. And then the Kotzker said the following. The Gemara says, Binyan the Orin Stira, Ustira Sakanin Binyan. Simple meaning, when young, foolish people build, sometimes their building is destroyed. And when Zakenim, wise people, knock down things, that itself would be building. That's the Parshat Shem. Sister Costa gave me something else. Binyan Ha'orim. You know how foolish people build themselves up? By knocking other people down. You can make yourself higher in one of two ways. You can build yourself up, or you can knock everybody else down, so you stay where you are, but everybody else is lower now. So you're built up. Ne'orim build themselves up by knocking other people down. And Shekainim knock the people down who have to be knocked down by building themselves up. That's the difference. Unfortunately, to a certain degree, we live in a world where we don't know who we are. And this here is one great exception. Because you know who you are. You have a Masorah, you have Minhagim, you have a Rav who leads you. So you don't sit in a cloud, but most of the world, people don't know who they are. The way we educate our children, unfortunately, is not so much to teach them who we are, but who we're not. We're not them, and we're not this, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. So they don't know who they are, but they know who they're not. That's not an identity. Mela, the only way they can build themselves up is by knocking everybody else down. Because they feel threatened by everybody else around, because they don't know who they are. And the only way they know who they are is by who they're not. So to knock all those other people who are not, that gives me an identity. Many times, we can only identify ourselves by chitzonius, how we look, how we dress, what kind of shirt we wear, what kind of yarmulke we wear. Rabbi Twersky, in one of his books, tells a story of a person who only knew who he was because of his clothing. And he was afraid if he'd go to the mikveh, he'd forget who he was. Came there, Yom Kippur, had to go to the mikveh. So he said, you know what, I'm going to take a red string and tie it around my finger, loosely, so I can go with it into the mikveh. And this way I'll remember who I am. I'll look at the string, I'll remember who I am. He goes into the mikveh, the string gets off his finger and gets twined around somebody else's finger. Comes out of the mikveh, he's looking at this guy with the red string on his finger, thinks, he says, look, I know who you are, but who am I? We laugh, but unfortunately, that's the way it is to a certain degree. When I first came there, it's Israel. So since I was an American, so everybody I came in contact was trying to pull me to be part of them, because over there it made a big difference who votes where or whatever. So it's important to know whose side you're on over here. So one person pulled me aside and told me the following. They said, you should know here it's different than America. Here in Eretz Israel, anybody who wears a black yarmulke is anti-Israel, anti-social, anti just about everything in the world. I said, that's really interesting. Just putting on a black yarmulke changes your whole view of the world. It's hard for me to believe that. They said, it's true, you'll see. It's true. Okay, that's one person. Then one of my children came home, he's about 9 years old, came home from Cheder. And he tells me, Tati, my Rebbe told me something very important today. He told me that anyone who wears a knitted yarmulke, a kippah sluga, can't be a Yirei Shemayim. I said, why not? He said, because the Yirei Shemayim escapes through the holes. I didn't want my son to think that that was a cloud bubble, that what yarmulke you wear makes you a Yirei Shemayim or not. But I didn't want to contradict his Rebbe either. So I said to him, Shlomi, last week I was in Meir Shalom, and all of the Toldos Aharon Chassidim, Rav Aharon's Chassidim, were big white knitted yarmulkes. I can't believe that not one of them is a Yirei Shemayim. He said, no, maybe there's exceptions. I said, Shlomi, last week again, maybe there are exceptions. Maybe the yarmulke does not make you a Yirei Shemayim or not. It's what's under the yarmulke that makes you a Yirei Shemayim. That's the way we are. I wish I knew. If that's the case, that's what Klal Yisrael is, and everything is judged on the chitzonius, then people should not doubt them by the Kosel Amalek. That is not the most kodesh place in the world. The most kodesh place in the world is my dry cleaners. But there's a lot of kodesh clothing without human beings in them who do chatoi. It's interesting. You want to know what Agnus is? The yom tiv of the year, which is the foundation of Agnus, is Purim. Purim is Shalom the Reyes. Some sophers said that's the reason for Shalom Manas, to create Agnus, Shalom the Reyes. Isn't it strange that Purim is the only yom tiv in the year that all Eden don't celebrate on the same day? Some celebrate on the 14th and some on the 15th. What kind of Agnus is that? But that's Agnus. Agnus is not being able to tolerate somebody doing the exact same thing you do. Agnus is being able to work together with other people who, for the same reason, you're keeping the 14th, they're keeping the 15th. But I can keep the 14th and you the 15th. No, we're keeping it for the same reason, from the same Achikness, Agdola, and that's Agnus. That's real Agnus. Once I was impressed with this idea of what Shalosh Manos is on Purim. When I first came to Eretz Israel, our Ganenet was a Moroccan woman who had a very difficult life. She was married, she didn't have any children, she got divorced, she got married again. Finally, she had a Bechor. It was a tremendous simcha. So she wanted the entire Moshav at that time was about 11 families, so it wasn't a great deep deal. She wanted to come to the Bris. We all went to the Bris, it was in Yerushalayim. And then they had a Pidyon HaBen. The Pidyon HaBen was in Kiryat Gat, which to me at the time was the end of the world. I didn't have a car to get to Kiryat Gat, I didn't know where it was. It was a big schlep, but she begged me, please, give me the covenant of coming to the Pidyon HaBen. So I went. But before I went, one of the people at the Moshav who had been in Eretz Israel already for a few years told me, be very careful when you go to that Pidyon HaBen what you eat. I said, why? I know the woman, her standards of kashrus are impeccable. What's the problem? She said, don't do kashrus. They're Moroccans. And Moroccans love to eat hot, spicy foods. You're an American. Even though between a Moroccan and America is just a little olive, but there's a very big difference between what you could eat and what they eat. Be very careful. So I went there, and I went over to the Balabasta, to the mother of the baby, and I said, look, I've been warned that you Moroccans like to eat hot, spicy food, which is not for me. So I wanted to ask you a favor. I'm going to look over to you at the beginning of every course, and if this is food that you think is very, very spicy and hot, point down like this and I'll know not to eat it. So there's no problem. We invited you as an Oleach Kovod here, and we know that you Americans don't like hot, spicy food. We made everything bland in your honor. Nothing is spicy. No spices. So I felt good, and I felt also they're all probably upset with me because they have to eat food that's all bland because of me. But in any case, okay. So they served the first course with some fish with some red sauce on it. And I see everybody's eating it like it's water. So I put a mouthful in my mouth. Immediately I felt my tongue disintegrate. But my reaction was to swallow it, and then I felt my esophagus burning up, and I saw my whole life, this is not exaggeration, not a good thing. I saw my whole life go before me. I pictured myself dying in a few minutes after all my kishkas are burned out. I saw my poor wife and children, them shipping my body back to Nakatikilo. I must have drunk a liter of water on the spot. And they're all looking at me, I was zetabel, it's bland. I learned from that two things. Never trust the Moroccan. The second thing, everybody has a different taste in food. What one person thinks is bland is not bland to another person. That's Shalosh Manos. Everybody has their meaning and Nesora of a Purim. I guarantee you, an American Purim Suda is not the same thing as a Swiss Purim Suda, and a Swiss Purim Suda is not the same thing as a Hungarian Purim Suda, and a Hungarian Purim Suda is not the same thing as a Moroccan Purim Suda. Completely different. But for apples, you have to be able to take two figs from somebody else's masoda and put it into your soup. You don't have to change your masoda, but you have to be able to tolerate at least two figs from somebody else's tongue. That's what achdus is. That's why Purim is the yontif of achdus, even though Yidden don't celebrate it on the same day, and they don't all eat the same food. That's what real achdus is. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to say, fine, whatever you do, you know, it's fine, it's not true. There's also tochacha. Without tochacha, there's no shalom either. Any shalom without tochacha is not shalom. There is 100% needs to be corrected. I have to correct myself, I have to correct other people, but not because I'm a violent, but because we're all on that circle together. And what you do makes a difference to me, because it affects me too. And what I do makes a difference to you, because it affects you. And only when we work together in each of our drachim as perfect as possible, can Klal Yisrael reach perfection. So I have to give you Mosar and Tochacha, and you have to give me Mosar and Tochacha. And I have to give myself Mosar and Tochacha, in order to see that my derech is as perfect as possible, because then my derech can be contributed to you, and your derech can be contributed to me, and together we can make Klal Yisrael what is most perfect. So having a tzibur and having a tehillah and knowing who you are, what your mesora is, where you come from, and you have a rich mesora here, very rich mesora, Makadim. Even though I also come from the Telfer Yeshiva, which also had a mesora, but this mesora is much, much deeper, and it's something to be proud of, because you know who you are, you know what your minhagim are, you know where you stand from. So why are there people who don't want to be part of the tzibur? So Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the Rebbe Lashon obviously likes you, and your tefillahs have been answered, and I'm getting harder and harder to talk, so I'm not going to be able to go on too much longer. Mishnah says, "Hill along there, al tifros min atzibur, ve'al tamim ba'atzmecha ad yom mosa, ve'al tovnes chaderecha shetagia l'komo, ve'al tomer al dover she'iefshar l'shmoa shesofo l'yishama, ve'al tomer l'she'ef ne'eshmen shem alo sifon." Very nice Mishnah. Hill said five things. Don't be parish from the tzibur. Don't believe in yourself until you die. Don't judge other people till you come to their place. Don't say on something that can't be heard that it will be heard. And don't say, when I have time, I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. All very nice things. What do they have to do with each other? Hill said five things. Why all these five things together? And therefore, Lanius Nike, I think that Hillel only said one thing. Hillel said, "I'll take from you, not tzibur. Don't separate yourself from the tzibur." And then he gave four answers to excuses why people don't want to be part of the kehila, don't want to be part of the tzibur, don't want to do their part. First reason: people say, "I don't need a kehila. I don't need a tzibur. That's for weak people. People who need peer pressure, need a support system. I'm strong. I don't need a kehila." And that Hillel said, "Al tamim ba'atzmecha ad yom mosa." Everybody needs a kehila. Everybody needs a tzibur. Everybody needs a support system. Everybody needs peer pressure. Can't do it on your own. Impossible. Al tamim ba'atzmecha. Second reason people say they don't want to be part of the tzibur: I would love to be part of the tzibur. I just haven't found a tzibur that's fit for me. They're all no good. This one's no good, and that one's no good. Why in the world would I want to be part of the tzibur of all these bad people? And that Hillel said, "Al tovnes chaderecha ad shetagia l'komo." Don't stand on the outside and hustle everybody. First, get close. See these people close up. Sometimes you may be right. Close up, they may be worse than they were from far away. But most of the time, it's not like that. Most of the time, when you get to see people from up close and see who they really are, even the finer people. So don't possibly see people from afar. I'm talking this chaver kochitakil and kohen. Third reason that people don't like to be part of a kehila or part of the tzibur. They say, you know, I tried to be part of the tzibur, and I gave them such good advice, and they never listened to me. So why in the world should I be part of a kehila of idiots who don't want to listen to good advice? On that, Yehuda said, Al tomer al dover she'i eshar v'shmoa she'sofo v'hishon. Don't say, you know I'm always right. And in the end, I'll see I'm right. Maybe it's something that's eshar v'shmoa. Maybe you're not right. Maybe advice isn't good advice. Don't say, in the end, I'll see I'm right, because maybe you're not right. And maybe the reason they don't listen to your advice, because it's not fit to be listened. So a person who thinks he's always right, and what he advises is always they're going to see in the end, I'm right, he can't be part of the tzibur, because the tzibur can't listen to everything you say, because not everything you say is right. And lastly, people say, you know, I'd love to be part of the tzibur, but I don't have the time. I have to spend time with my family. I need time to learn. I need time to do mitzvahs. I don't have time to waste on the tzibur. But Moshe Feinstein fastens that just like a person is trying to give meiser of his money to others, he is trying to give meiser of his time to others. That's also part of your nechus. And therefore, Hill said, Al tomar l'sheef me'eshne. When I have time, because I won't be allowed with the tzibur, so I have all this extra time to learn. Don't say that, because Shem Elos Yiponim. Do you think your Rabbanu Shalom will let you use time that you're stealing from the tzibur to be able to use for yourself? They'll find other battalion, other things to bother you, and not be able to use that time if you're using it at the expense of the tzibur. So Hillel said one thing, I'll keep growing from that tzibur. The people have all different kinds of excuses why they don't want to be part of the tzibur, why they think it's okay to be Polish from that tzibur. And Hillel answered them one by one. Along the same lines, the epitome, the paradigm, the dogma of Machlokes Shelo B'Shem Shamayim is Korach. Korach Machlokes Shelo B'Shem Shamayim, which is the opposite of Shalom. Shalom is Machlokes B'Shem Shamayim. Different people doing different things, not arguing against each other, but arguing with each other. I have my data, you have your data. Let's work it out and see what's the best thing to do. Not where I want to be right or you want to be right. We want to do what's right. That's the ultimate shalom. Each one doing their part, different than the other, together, to lead to that shlemus. Chazal darshan the names of Korach to show the shoresh, the root of what Machlokes Shelo B'Shem Shamayim is. Once Chazal darshan the names, we also darshan the names. Korach comes from the Lashon Kereach, a person who considers himself bald. He doesn't consider that he has anything to contribute to the tzibur. He doesn't realize what his kochos and kishronos are. He doesn't appreciate that everybody is unique and everybody has talents, abilities, and capabilities that they can contribute to the tzibur. A person who is a kereach has nothing to give to the tzibur and therefore is not part of the tzibur. And then there's the yitzar. Yitzar is shemen. Some people think they're like oil. They always rise to the top. They can't mix with other people. They're too big to be part of the tzibur. They're too chashuv to be part of the tzibur. They can't lower themselves to be part of all these other common people. So if you're a yitzar, you can't be part of the tzibur either. And then there's kahas. Kahas comes in the lashon of kihu, being acidic, negative people. People who only see the negative about everything. This is not good, that's not good, and this one didn't do good, and they only can criticize. Never say a good word, never have anything constructive, but they know how to complain. They know how to, what's wrong with this or what's wrong with that. Those kind of people can never depart from evil. They can stand afar and criticize, but they can't ever do anything constructive together with the evil. And then there's the lady. Lady needs an escort. Some people love what the tzibur does. It benefits them. There's a lot of people working hard in the tzibur to do tremendous things for the sake of the kehila. They don't want to work for them. They just want to get a ride with somebody else, on somebody else's work. They want to be a lady. You work, and I'll get the benefits. A person like that can't be part of the tzibur easy. You can't just be an escort. You can't just be somebody who goes along for the ride. You have to also do something to help other people also. So those are some of the reasons why people don't want to be a part of a kehila or can't be part of a kehila. And if we work on ourselves, and everybody recognizes how important it is to be part of a kehila, how important it is to contribute to the kehila, and the neighbor to benefit from the kehila. How important it is for everybody to need that support system that a kehila gives. And to appreciate the Messiah that the kehila represents. To know who you are. Who are your Gedolei Israel? Who are the Messiah that you follow? Where do you stand from? Where do the Minhagim come from? And the more you appreciate who you are, the more you can appreciate who other people are and not feel threatened by them. And work together with other kehilas also. And not only identify ourselves by how we dress, how we look, the chitzonis, but to look much more, in a much more meaningful way, and being able to see all other kehilas, being able to see how we can work together, kehilas work together, countries work together. That's what the Achdus of Am Yisrael is. That's why the Torah says, by Yehibu Shur Melech, when is the Rabbanishon really a Melech in Klal Yisrael? The Yisase Roshi Om Yachad Shifte Yisrael. Only when there's Achdus in Klal Yisrael is the Rabbanishon really the Melech of Klal Yisrael. There's an Orach Chaim HaKadosh, we'll end with this, who says, he brings down the Zohar HaKadosh says, that even one kehila could bring Mashiach. One kehila that works on itself, that's ma'ached itself, and contributes to the perfection of Klal Yisrael, just that perfection of one kehila, if that's supposed to Mashiach will come. One kehila. I always like to say, Mati Joe is a nice small place, so maybe it's not so hard for us to work on ourselves. But after being here, I see that we have competition. And a kehila like this, with such fine people, with such a fine God, people who know who they are, and people who are never to their Minnesota, you have an excellent chance of being that one kehila. We're going to try to be first. But if you work real hard, you may beat us out. And Yitz Hashem, that's where all the parties go on. So Yitz Hashem, if you work on that Achdus, you work on that Shleimus, then Yitz Hashem will see the day Yi Hashem the Melech al Kol HaOlam, by Yom Ahu Yi Hashem Echad Mishmor Echad, the Tiyas Kol Tzedek, may you have your name.